Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Health Points, where we talk about anything and everything gamification and health. I'm Ben, and I have with me my co-host, Pete.
Hi, everyone.
And today we have with us Jeffrey, who is an entrepreneur, user experience guru, and development expert. Who's previously worked for banks, biotech companies, and everything in between. He's a technical mastermind with a strong human touch, which are key qualities in attracting and retaining the customers of tomorrow. He's the CEO of Quit, a digital pocket coach based on cognitive behavior therapy to support people quit smoking for good, with more than 3 million users to date. Jeffrey, it's fantastic to have you join us on the show today.
Thank you for having me. And hello, everybody.
It'd be great to tell us a bit more about your background and the journey to how you got into creating Quit.
Yeah, so my curriculum is I was a software engineer for many, many years. And I was a smoker, unfortunately, also. And in the early 2011, I wanted to quit smoking, mainly because of my two daughters. And to set a good example, because it's not super good to show them that you smoke. And then I was starting on how I could achieve that. And at the same time, I was quite a little bit worried and annoyed and bored with my job, because I was working on a website and database, and it's not super exciting. And so I was wondering, okay, I wanted to do a mobile app and I wanted to quit smoking, so why not do both at the same time? And so I'll create a digital solution to help me cope with the smoking cessation. And so that's what I did. And at first, it was mostly for me. And the first feedback from the users were so good that I dig into it. And many years later, I make a startup from it. So that's how I went from there to there. And it takes me 5 years to get from the side project, weekend project, to a company.
So what, that sounds great. What effect did it have on your quitting smoking?
So in the meantime, I try many times. I relapse because it's part of the process. And now it's more than 6 years that I quit smoking. So that my last cigarette is 6 years and a few weeks ago. So it's a success.
I guess sometimes you've got to create a company to solve your own problems in life, right? But no, fully appreciate the journey of weekend working, evenings, and any spare hour to turn the side project into a real organization. So that's great. And talking about kind of your motivation for quit, where did you come into contact with cognitive behavioral therapy, and where did you realize that was a key component to creating quit?
Okay, so I first started with gamification because it was something I liked. I was a gamer since a long time. I like all kind of game, not only mobile, online, also strategy game, board game, all playing games, and so on. So I was a lot into games and gamification. So that's why the first version of Quit was heavily gamified. And then when we created the company, we were looking to improve the scientific evidence around the app, because that was one of the main concerns of the health professional we discussed with. It was okay, your app looks like it's working, but you don't have really scientific proven evidence around it. And so I dig at this time around what possible to add, what kinds of science exists to help people quit smoking. And so I stumble upon cognitive and behavioral therapy. And so I look in the area, all the psychologists who were expert in the field. In France, I try to find the opinion leader. And so I speak with a lot of them. And obviously it was, so I figured out that it was the way to go, because it's something that can be more or less easily integrated in apps, because it's more, it's questionnaire, it's stuff to do, it's a process. And so making process into something usable into an app was something we know how to do, and we knew how to do. So that's why it was an obvious choice to integrate CBT. And our first hire into the company was a CBT psychologist. So that's because we not only just say, okay, we want to do CBT, we wanted to do it with someone who knew and who know how to do it. So that's the first hire was a CBT psychologist. So we were three co-founders, and so Luz Adriana, our first employee.
So in that case, talk us through where the games first started.
So I knew that when you quit smoking, the most difficult part is to stay motivated. Because it's easy to stay on smoker for one day, the second day is toughest, and then the third day, and so on. So it's a struggle and a fight in the first few weeks. And I knew also that when you are motivated with badges and goals and like a streak, you can sometimes overcome the hardest moment of the smoking session. And so I knew that for me, having a goal, like, okay, if I stay strong for a few more hours, I will unlock something new into the app. This will work for me. And so as it's the same as what I thought before. I make something super tailored for my needs. And hopefully it echoed in a lot of many other users. And so it comes from here. So the first version was super heavily gamified. It was all around gamification. And it's only the more you stay on smoker and the more you gain points, like in a game, and with the point you unlock new levels. So you say you started, you're a novice, and then you are intermediate, and at the end the goal was to become the ultimate quitter. So that
it's a great title, the ultimate quitter.
Yeah, we remove it from the app.
Not one you'd go for in any other frame of life.
We remove it, unfortunately, because we updated the app, but maybe we should bring it back.
That's a special occasion one. Yeah, for an anniversary or something. Yeah. So I'm interested to know. So you've got some gamification, some game elements in there, and then you get your CBT expert on board. How easy was it to meld the two?
That's a tough question. I think it was easier than if we have did it in the other way. Because we integrated the CBT process and we gamified them the same way we already have gamification into the app. So it was not like forced, because sometimes you saw apps and you feel that they try to add gamification later. And so it's just, okay, don't do it, do something else. But in this case, it was just increasing and adding new features. The features were built around CBT, and then how can we gamify this feature? So it was done in this way, in fact.
I really like that, actually. But most of my clients, it's the other way around. They've already got something and they want to add gamification to it.
Yeah, because
I like this idea of saying, start with the game, and then we'll add in the serious stuff. If the game is fun.
Yes, and gamification is not just a badge and achievement, and it's far more than that. And sometimes people think that by adding, okay, I will put badges and everything will go fine, and people will keep getting back to my app every day, and it doesn't work like that. Not at all.
So in that case, clearly when you started, the gamification was really focused around points and points gear is unlocking levels. Has it evolved over that time hugely? And it'd be great to understand, what is your process for implementing game mechanics within the Quit app?
Yes, so so in the team, we have already many people who like games, so that's something that helps for sure. Because everybody plays on their side, and so they bring back stuff they like when they see something. So that gives us like an ID backlog, which is really, really long. And sometimes we do a backlog grooming, and so we review the items and say, okay, maybe we can focus on this one now or this one now. Sometimes also the request, the backlog is nurtured by a user. We take really a strong care of listening to everybody. And finally, sometimes it comes from the, let's say, a scientific expert. But that's the more, it's not so much for the gamification part. It's really more for the other feature. And so when we notice, and then we try to evaluate the items in the backlog, and if they are they have a big impact and not so much effort, we try to do it. So we have a kind of, how can I say that? Idealized gamification in our mind, so it's not already into the app. Even if it's an old app, we still have a lot of ideas on how to do better and to do more, for sure. And so that's the the maker is and the founders is always frustrated about how the app is because it always wants that it's the step after, but it's unfortunately it doesn't go that way. So we try to the kind of we do sprints like many tech company, and in the sprint we try to add always a new features and say okay, then maybe we can. And depending on which area of the app we want to improve, we will focus also the gamification on the part we want to improve. And then we have a UX expert in the team who work on doing a user interview, gathering user feedback. We have developed something into the app to make user survey, large scale survey into the app, asking users if they like it, what they want more, what they want less, and so on. So we mix that and we add data analysis. So it's a mix of user interview data and kind of mix that with the backlog, and then we try to find the next feature to develop.
That's a really great insight into your process, which I really like. Something that springs out to me from that is one thing players like in order to stay engaged for a long time is new features, new game elements, that sort of thing. And it makes me think, actually, how long do your players play on the app for, and what do you aim for?
So we struggled for a long, long time on trying to focus on the wrong thing, and the wrong thing was having a super long attention, because we are addressing an addiction that people want to quit, and at the end, trying to keep them for years and years doesn't make sense. But for the 4 years, I discussed with investors, with other people, and so on, and the key metrics for them was, okay, I want to look at retention. And so we try to focus on retention features, and okay, it works for a few weeks. We get super highly engaged people at first, but at the end, they don't want to use the app anymore. And because once you're done, and after a few months and few years, there is no need to get back to the app. So that's something we get. And so now we focus more on the first few weeks experience. But then to answer the question, we user and players usually stay into the app between 3 and maybe 4.5 months. So it's the time to have the brain get back to a normal state, and then to feel confident enough to cope with the occasional cravings alone. And because we teach the user how to behave. So it's a victory for us that they are autonomous, and they can, it's like if we were a meditation app, I would be super happy to let people do meditation without my app. At the end, they should be educated enough to behave by themselves. So we really strongly believe in that.
It's cool. It's one of those apps that is designed to go obsolete, shall we say. It's done its job. Let's move on.
Exactly. And in the meantime, we have changed life, so that's good.
Yeah, and what you were saying about 4.5 months, it rings true, because I think the average number of days for someone to do a new habit and get it as a habit is 66, if I remember from some piece of research somewhere.
Yeah, I've reached 21, but for the cigarette, it's not like that, because the behavior of the nicotine is a little bit different. But what I read is 21 days to build a new habit. So maybe it's to change a bad one. Maybe it's longer. It's obviously longer, because it's harder to to change something that you are deeply anchored in your life.
One of the things I noticed by looking into Quit as well, Jeffrey, is you've amassed a really impressive scientific panel as well, as a panel of advisors. Did they have a view on, were they interested in the gamification side? Is it the more cognitive behavior side? Is it more the public health side? I guess it's really important to have, with any gamification app, within health gamification, the scientific backing behind it. And what has that meant for you? Has it unlocked the ability to be prescribed at all or anything like that?
So first question, yes, the scientific committee, so it's a mix. We have one of the members who is really more connected to gamification. So it's a neuroscientist, which is teacher. He's a teacher in the École Normale Sup, which is a big, big school in Paris. And so he really likes the gamification part, and he do study it. And besides this, it's more a psychiatrist and psychologist, so CBT and public health. So we try to cover all the spectrum and the range of the topic you say. And then for the being prescribed, so it's something, it's like a graal, if I could say, but the path is really, really tough because you have to, first, there is a lot of regulatory. So you need to, also if you take in, if you speak in Europe, but I think it's more or less the same process in the US. So in the US, it's FDA, but in France, in Europe, it's something called a CE mark. And so you need to be a software medical device to have the CE mark. So that's one step. And to have this, you need to respect a lot of ISO norm, quality, security, and so on. So to make a lot of documentation. And then you need a first clinical trial, and then a study, a medico-economic study. So to show that, okay, your solution is efficient, but it also costs less than what exists. And once you have all that, then you can hope that maybe you get prescribed. So the road is still long. The one who are the most advanced are the German, because they have a kind of a fast track. So you can go there and it's a little bit easier. But still, you need to check all the markets I just told. So yes, so it's something we are working on. But unfortunately, we can only do this because we still focus on the out-of-the-pocket money that people are ready to pay to get their addiction addressed.
That's also really useful insight. That's a long journey into getting prescribed. But seeing as how you're still aiming for that, it seems to me you've done really well having reached 3 million users of the app. So if you're not being prescribed, how did you manage to get that level of impact and reach?
sometimes you don't I have explanation for everything. That's the sad part. I don't have a magic wand who explains. But I think the timing was good because we were released quite early. So when there were not so many apps, so it's something we have a kind of a head start. So for sure. And when I make it, I was looking, if I find at this time a good app, I wouldn't have made it, because I made it because I didn't find anything cool. So first, there was nothing, so it was easy to fight against nothing. Then in the journey, I think we have there were some years where the mobile app was something trending and cool, and so it was easy to get press and to get press release, press coverage on apps. So that's something that helped us. And then later we were not partnering, but we were in the Apple scope. And so we benefit from a lot of featuring. And so even if now there is less impact on being featured, it was a time where it was like insane. So when you get featured by Apple, it's tens of thousands of downloads per day or per month. And so it was something really, really helpful. And so it's kind of a mix of all of this. And because we don't have really a really strong social network presence, we struggle to have more than 5,000 people on Instagram. So we not everything is perfect. But then, so it's more the organic way, and I guess the word to mouth also, because if the apps is working, you can share it with your friends. And also, and one last thing, and it's related to gamification, so it's useful. So we have a strong gamer community in France, a professional gamer with a lot of audience being on Twitch or on Instagram or on YouTube. And they decided to quit smoking, a lot of them. And they were looking for a gamified app, and so they used Quit. And each time they tweet or talk about us, it was like, oh, what happened? Oh, okay, one influencer was speaking about us. But organically and without us asking them to do something. Because each time we try to work with the influencer by paying them or something like that, it doesn't work, because I think the audience feel that it's not authentic. And when it's natural and it's organic, in fact, it's working super well. So it's not something we can really replicate, unfortunately, but it's linked to the gamification.
That's been fantastic, Jeffrey. What's been really interesting about looking into the Quit app, as I say, most of the guests that we've had historically at Health Points have been about creating new health behaviors to gain something new into it, whether it's kind of adding in physical activity, diet, strategies for mental health. within quit is about removing a behavior, taking away that cessation process. Do you think there's a difference between taking away a behavior using gamification rather than adding in a behavior using gamification?
I think removing a behavior is harder than adding a new one. Because let's say I want to exercise more. Okay, if I didn't succeed, it won't harm me so much. I will be sad, I will be pissed about myself, but at the end of the day, my life won't change so much. But if you need to quit smoking, let's say because you have a chronic disease or something like that, and we see people having a lung cancer, so even those, so you need to quit smoking, but it's still super hard. And then if you don't achieve to do it, you will feel super depressed and you will feel bad. And if you succeed in quitting at the first day, you will feel also depressed and bad. And so, yeah, it's something. Yeah, the motivation level that you need to have is higher than to build a new habit, because the impact of failing is far, far heavier than the impact of failing to build a new behavior. In fact, except maybe for the diet, if you are overweight, you need to obviously.
Yeah, agreed. In that case, it'd be great to know from your experience and insight, where do you think the magic is within gamification? What are the game mechanics you think are most important? Whether that's within a cessation of a behavior or habit or in the creation of a new health behavior. What are the things you've seen work best?
What I like is like when the user have a kind of an epic a moment when something happened to the app. So for us, it's something else, quite stupid, but it has a huge impact. So I will tell the story. So at one moment, we wanted to add some interaction design to the app, so more animation and something more lively. And so and we had a few resources. So we tried to find a kind of firework. And so we find a kind of firework animation. We didn't even have the right color of quit, but we were lazy. And so we integrate this. So when people gain experience point, we adding at the end the firework. And just that, in fact, it has a super huge impact because we get a lot of feedback saying, okay, oh, I like that so much. It's super motivating. And so that's it. So sometimes just adding some emotion and animation to the app make everything more lively and so that's it. So the kind of make it fun. And the best example is Duolingo. In fact, if you want the perfect gamification, you just look at Duolingo. And Duolingo is, I think, maybe the best gamified app at the moment that I use.
I think what you've said is really important because apps are potentially quite flat and not that engaging no matter what you're doing on it. So any sort of movement within it, looking at the screen, is going to be useful and pleasing, and that's what games do, of course.
You have to make people smile, and if they smile, they can overcome also bad habits in our case. And it's so when we build, we didn't say it now, but we also build a new app which is called Sobero and which addressed alcohol cessation. And so with Sobero, we're adding already a lot more animation everywhere, and so we the fun part is even stronger, and the app tried to tell a story. Because in with quit, it's something we put aside because it's like a too old app and so on. But with Sobero, we started with a blank state, and so we tell a story in addition. So it's also something. It can be gamification because gamification, a game is a story also. So it's we tell a story.
Oh, it's a really strong game element. Yeah, because it gets the user immersed.
Exactly.
I mean, what sort of story are you building around for going sober?
So Sobero, you are an explorer of new worlds, and so you take your starship and you go to the galaxy, exploring new planets. And so we are the people. The app is the kind of the one who the flight attendant and so on, and the pilot, and you are a passenger. And so you go in your new life, and so it's fun. So you go to the new planet, and on the new planet you are sober. Something more or less like that.
Animations use UX, UI design is incredibly important for people wanting to pick up an app. I always wonder, though, where is the balance that really engages users? Is it actually the game mechanic, or is it a really pretty game mechanic?
I don't know, but sometimes there is super ugly games who works a lot and who works super well. So it can be both. You should take some silly casual games. Flappy Birds, okay, well, it's an old one, but when it arrived, the design was old school. Even if after that, everybody did old school design, so it make a trend. But at this time, nobody was making app like that. And it worked, and it's not super beautiful. And on the opposite, if you take maybe the best universe in the mobile app, you take It Space. I think in terms of global universe and visual and UI, it's even better than Duolingo. And so they achieve on the opposite, making something super beautiful used. So I guess that was both.
One of the things I've really liked about Headspace in the past is they've got a social proof thing. So you might log in and go like, there's 64,000 other people meditating right now.
Yeah.
Have you, especially with your size of audience, have you toyed with this sort of game mechanic and tried it out, seeing what effect it has?
So it's in the backlog. So, yeah, obviously something we would like to do. We will do it first in the alcohol app, because it's even more, it's stronger there to have this. But yeah, it's something we have in mind since a long time, but just not the time and the resources to do it at the moment. But yes, I think also that it's something that in our case would be super useful.
So thinking bigger than quick, thinking about health gamification generally, where do you think the industry is going? Where do you think the future of health gamification is?
I think it's like if you take any drugs prescription, if you don't take it when the doctors told you to take them, it won't work. And so for a digital product, it will be the same. So I think gamification will be used to have a high level of engagement. And if you are engaged and you take the kind of digital prescription, it will work. So I think the gamification is something super important in the future, for sure, in the digital health industry. I think they are more or less aware of that. Let's hope that they build gamification first and not something, okay, now we can add gamification. And the main issue I see with that today as how apps and DTX, digital therapeutics are evaluated is that if you want to make trial, you shouldn't update your app after that. You cannot add new elements. When you update an app every 15 day, how do you do the mix between, okay, enough evidence, but I want, and if you don't update your app, even if it's the best app in the world, but then 1 year later you have a new update of the OS, and then everybody wants the new stuff that the OS allows, and okay, I can do that with iOS, I can do that with Android, but it's not in the app. But what do we do? And software company cannot do one trial every year just to show, okay, we don't change anything. And so I think the regulatory need to evolve into taking that into account. And when it will be done, I think it will explode the gamification, because we will be able to A/B test constantly to get the better engagement. Because today the key is also being able to test, because every product is different, and even sometimes it's one thing that works, sometimes it's another thing. But if you don't test, you don't know. And sometimes it's just gaining 5% or 3%. But if at 10 place in your app you gain 5% or 3%, it's huge at the end. And if you are not allowed to do that, it's something bad. So I think the health industry and the regulatory need to evolve it a bit.
Really interesting. Also completely agree. How does that happen? I know that's a huge question. I appreciate that, Jeffrey. But the reality is of developing a digital therapeutic, unlike the years of development for a drug or pharmaceutical intervention, is that there is the flexibility and the teams and the resource and capacity to keep testing and ideating with new features, function, and gamification. Ultimately, some of those may have incremental improvements of 2-3%. You don't want to wait for another 1-2 year trial to be able to test them, to put them in, to still have the thumbs up from whatever regulatory approval. What could be a better way to do that?
Maybe at one point we will trust enough some of kind of you, you there will be an SDK like a, let's say a data analysis, but tailored to understand the behavior of the user into the app, not in a marketing way, but in a cure way or health way. And maybe this will make, okay, we will have a green check or a red check on what you do. So maybe there is, someone will have an idea of, okay, if you use this this SDK, I will guarantee that you will have easier clinical trial because we have so many data. We have real world evidence, real world data, but those real world data usually don't comply to all the stuff you need to do clinical trial. And so let's hope there is a kind of brick that is missing and somebody smart enough will make that brick, make it validated by the regulatory authority, and then it will be easier.
And how frustrating is it when arguably I would say the real-world data is the best reflection of a population using a service and the impact it will have on their health and well-being, and that it can't be submitted.
It's all the time I can speak to let's say health authority or big pharma, I told them, but they say, okay, I know, but still I want the proof.
Yeah, maybe we need some doctrine changes or some epistemological kind of thinking in terms of what is the right approach in terms of research. I also feel that there needs to be a real shift again to look at, to high, put higher weight and value on qualitative feedback as well. It's so much the numbers, and it's, don't get me wrong, for evaluating drugs, it's RCTs and the quantitative outcomes are best. But actually, for complex interventions, for what are complex lifestyle and behavior changes, I don't think it's the right approach. But hey, hopefully in years to come, the regulatory changes will happen.
Yeah, and one thing you cannot use also is the people review, because you can say that if 100,000 people write nice review, and you can, because you can analyze them, it's work, so you can do analyses on the wording and the emotion and stuff, but no, it doesn't wait for anything. Today.
It's not about the intervention, but having a solution that people want to use and therefore will create the health benefit. But there is kind of usability. It's just nowhere near as valued in terms of regulatory approval as the effectiveness of an intervention, even if it's unusable and people don't even like engaging with it.
So true.
I wanted to go back a bit and find out a bit more about your Quit Drinking app, because I've got a feeling it's pretty new. Is that right?
Yeah, we released it in the mid-December, the first version, because we wanted to be ready for the dry January. So it was our last year project, even if it took a little bit less than 1 year, but yeah, we took about 9 months to from ideation to the release of the V1 on the store. And it was exhausting. And then, yeah, so it's based more or less on the same principle. So it's CBT, but it's also psychosocial skills, which is linked anyway. It's also cognitive science anyway. And so this time it's, you can either choose to quit totally or to quit drinking or just to reduce or control. Because at this time we think that the user will be both. And now I can say that it's more people willing to quit totally that come to the app. The one who just want to control, I think they don't really want an app or need an app because the pain point is not strong enough. But when you have a real drinking issue, then the pain point is super, super high. And then you came to the app. And so that's the typology of user we have today, is the kind of heavy drinker.
Okay, so what you're saying there is that this sort of thing potentially only works if the pain point is high enough and people aren't necessarily interested in an app that would slightly improve their life as opposed to like massively deal with it.
Exactly. Yeah, they came when the, because if you take quit, so the cigarette smoking app, we have a free version, and to have more of some feature, you have to pay. And for the Sobero, it's only you have to pay. There is no free trial. So you have a free trial. You can try the app for a 7 days, but then you have to pay. And so to pay, you also need to have the pain need to be strong enough. And it's more the same people that probably would go to a clinic to make a rehab or something like that. And the stuff which is insane is that you already achieve to make some people who used to drink up to 2 bottles per day to quit drinking for weeks and for months. And so that's already a big success. So we are already super happy with the efficacy and the impact that we have in a few people's life for the moment.
And now I'm going to be really interested in this. Is one of your target audiences for the Sobering Up app the quit app audience as well? Now that they've quit smoking, are you like, hey, do you want to quit drinking?
Unfortunately, not, no, because so if you take today, also in the US, it's for sure, and it's getting the same in Europe, is that the one who are still smoking are the lower class. And the one who want to quit drinking are more the upper class. And so that's what, even if we, the lower class don't want to quit drinking today, they want to quit smoking maybe, and for sure, because it costs money. But the one who are okay to take their health in charge concerning alcohol, it's not the same person. So we have a few overlaps, but it's really totally different people.
Thank you for that, Jeffrey. And it's been great today to talk about how your motivation to stop smoking led to developing a digital health gamification product. Some of the steps in terms of the future prescription of medical technology, but yet the challenges of regulatory approval and future development within an existing gamified health products, and how we need to see shifts in the future to make it easier for regulators, developers, and users to benefit from health gamification. Thank you so much for your time on the show today.
It's been great having you on the show, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Pete.